It is also a great idea, I think a necessity, to have in writing in your contract a specific recourse that is going to happen if your wedding photographer does not meet those deadlines.
Hey there, welcome to the Complete Wedding Photography for Couples podcast. Do you know that the number one regret for most couples after their wedding is usually their photographs? Tammy will share all the knowledge and expertise she has gained over the years to help you get the very best wedding images from your photographer. The conversations on this podcast are going to help you understand how almost every decision you make for your wedding day directly affects your photographer. Tammy is going to give you the knowledge and awareness you need to create a nearly perfect position for your photographer to be in on your wedding day. And that means better images for you to remember your special milestone. Tammy Blaylock is an internationally awarded, nationally featured wedding photographer and published author. Since 2010, she has excelled in helping each of her couples capture beautiful, emotive images from their big day. Tammy wants your wedding day to be as perfect as you do. So tune in and listen up, because this episode's about to begin.
All right. Hello and welcome to my podcast and my YouTube channel. I am Tammy and I am your host for the Complete Guide to Wedding Photography for Couples Getting Married. What I am doing here is trying to educate couples who are engaged and looking to hire a wedding photographer so that they know what to look for when they're hiring their wedding photographer, when they're working with their wedding photographer, and so that they're not setting their wedding photographer up for failure on their wedding day. I am looking to help couples remove all of the tiny little landmines, obstacles, and challenges that they unknowingly put in front of us on their wedding days, making our job harder. I firmly believe that a wedding photographer's brain power should be used exclusively to be creating epic images and capturing those very precious memories for you on your wedding day. I don't believe that we should be helping the groomsmen necessarily put their boutonnieres on or helping you put your bouquet back together if it's fallen apart or deciding in what order your procession should proceed. Those are things that we should be documenting while they're happening, not helping you work through those problems. So those are some examples of what this podcast and what these episodes are all about. So today, what we are going to be discussing is some questions that I sifted through and found on Reddit. But before I get to those questions, I want to quickly just give you a recap of my WPPI experience. I believe it was my 9th or 10th trip out to Las Vegas for this wedding and portrait photographers conference. I've been going since 2014. I did miss the years 2020 and 2021 due to COVID. And I almost thought that this might be my last year ever because the print comp was put on pause. I'm sorry. And I just wasn't sure I was going to ever be back. But the International Print Competition will resume next year, thanks to Melissa and Jerry Guiones. They have assumed it in some way. I don't know if they bought it or just claimed it or took possession of it. I'm not exactly sure how they have come to be the owners or managers of it, but at any rate, they are now controlling it, for a lack of better knowledge or word. So everyone who had competed in the WPPI annual print comp in the past all of their points and designations and titles will roll over to what is now known as the ICON International Photography Awards. And I am just very happy to hear about that because I have been investing a lot of time and money since 2014 working my way to hopefully become a master photographer one day. I have since then also began competing in a number of other international print competitions, but WPPI is the very first one that I started with and kind of got my feet wet with. So I'm very happy that it hasn't died, that someone loved it enough to pick it up, baby it, and continue to grow it. So thank you, Jerry and Melissa. Other things that I did at WPPI this year is took a couple of photo walks. So I just want to give quick shout outs to Danny Dong from California. If you're not familiar with any of these wedding photographers, please Google them because they are exceptional wedding photographers. And I believe that as a wedding photographer, I don't believe that I'll ever quit learning. I really believe that I will be a student for life and always enjoy learning from other photographers. So photo walks that I went on with this year are Danny Dong from California, Juggy Dillon from the UK, Jesse and Moira LaPlante from Colorado, Linda Rukavina from right here in my home city of San Antonio, Texas. And I also had another one planned that I was incredibly bummed for missing because of a glitch in the WPPI social app or phone app, Jason Vinson from Arkansas. I really would have loved to have attended his photo walk, so hopefully I will catch him next year. All right, that is all of the personal news that I have prefacing this episode. So let's get on with the meat and potatoes. I am going to be answering three Reddit questions that I sifted through and found today. So let's get on with question number one. The heading was asking a photographer to avoid a certain person in pictures. There's only one person we don't want at the wedding. But she's one of our closest friends' partners. So we are relenting. It would be a 6-page drama novel to say why, so I'll leave it at that. Has anyone ever dealt with unwanted / obnoxious but unavoidable guests? Have you ever asked your photographer to avoid taking pictures with that person in those pictures? So I just want to first say that I'm going to elaborate a lot more on my answer in question number three. So stay tuned for that. But personally, I think that this is somewhat of a big ask of your wedding photographer. Maybe not inviting this particular person to your wedding was not an option. Or maybe it was just harder than asking this of your photographer. But asking your photographer to remember who and who not to photograph on your wedding day is a lot like giving them a very detailed shot list for your wedding day. Like asking them to photograph your bouquet in the church window on top of a Bible, or asking them to make sure and get your grandma as she's kissing your grandpa during your ceremony. These are just very, very detailed shots that takes away from it. It pulls your photographer out of their creative headspace and puts them into this checklist headspace where they're capturing what you want, but not necessarily better images that are happening about stories that are unfolding right in front of their eyes. It just pulls them out of their essence. And you think you might be doing them a favor by giving them this detailed shot list, but for all intents and purposes, you're actually asking the photographer to do a worse job. especially if your wedding photographer is highly skilled and highly experienced. A detailed shot list might be a necessary tool for a very new photographer or a very inexperienced wedding photographer, but any experienced, skilled wedding photographer does not need a shot list. They already have the shot list in their head. They already know what they need to capture, and they don't need any sort of checklist to remind them what to get. So asking them not to photograph a particular person at your wedding is a lot like giving them that detailed shot list. When I am in my photojournalistic brain, when I have that part of my brain turned on, I'm thinking about storytelling and using my photographic tools in my photographic tool bag, such as light and shadow and composition and layering and framing and reflections and shadows and emotion and connection between the guests at your wedding, to tell these stories. And I'm looking to tell them in the most epic and dynamic ways possible. I'm not thinking, am I allowed to photograph this person? Does my couple want this person in their images? Should I avoid this person? Do they want to see this person later on in their gallery? I'm not thinking that. I am thinking, how can I tell the story of the day in the most pleasing, lively, entertaining way, complete way? I'm not thinking that I am having to edit it or censor it as I'm taking it. I think that in this particular instance, the easier and more sensible thing to do would just let the photographer to do their job. And if there are images in the gallery that you never want to see again after the gallery has been delivered to you, just delete those images. If a person or an image of a person triggers you so much that you never want to see images of them, then what are they doing at your wedding in the first place? I think seeing them in person, for me, would be more traumatic than seeing an image of them. So sometimes grown-ups have to make grown-up choices and do grown-up things. So I just think that if I were to give an answer to this Reddit poster, I would say that either uninvite this person or just deal with the person in your wedding images if they show up at all. I mean, chances are they might not, could even be in the images. But if they are, just delete them. Don't task your photographer with this request because it's going to hamper their creativity. All right, question number two. The heading was wedding photographer payment timing, ? Is it common to pay in full before the actual wedding even occurs? And yes, and this will vary from photographer to photographer and may change when custom payment options have been arranged between the couple and the photographer, but it is a common practice in the wedding photography industry that half of what is owed is paid up front and is paid immediately to secure your date. This upfront payment or retainer or deposit, those words are kind of used interchangeably in the industry, though it is my legal understanding that they mean completely different things. Those are paid up front, and then usually a certain amount of days before your wedding date, the balance is paid, unless custom payment arrangements have been made. That upfront payment locks you in on your wedding photographer's calendar, thereby preventing them from taking any more, hopefully, work on that wedding date. Because sometimes a wedding photographer can be holding your wedding date for up to a year in advance of your wedding, effectively turning away a lot of other work, aka money, on the same day. So should you cancel, postpone, or move your wedding date to a different state and the photographer is suddenly out of a job, They at least have some sort of compensation for any of the pre-wedding work that they have done, and also for turning away any other income that they might have received from any additional inquiries that they had on the same day as your wedding date. The second half of what's owed, or the balance to your wedding date, is just a lot easier if it's paid before your wedding date, from preventing any awkward conversations on the day of your wedding. Like, could you imagine in the middle of hair and makeup, the photographer walking up to you before he or she starts shooting and say, "Hey, I have this balance for $2,500. Would you like to pay that now?" No, that would be very awkward. So a lot of photographers just ask that that's paid up front, so there is no awkward conversations or bad timing on your wedding date. Having said that, make sure that your wedding photographer offers a written contract with all of the payment arrangements detailed in writing in that contract, and also a notation of when you're going to receive your deliverables, your digital galleries, any wall art that comes in your collections, and your wedding albums. It is also a great idea, I think a necessity, to have in writing in your contract a specific recourse that is going to happen if your wedding photographer does not meet those deadlines. For example, in my contract, I give my couples a $250 print credit for every day that I miss their gallery delivery deadline, not to exceed $1,000. So if I say, "Hey, in my contract, the gallery delivery is April 1st, but I don't get that to them until April 5th. They receive a $250 print credit for those 4 days that I missed it by, which equates to a $1,000 print credit that they can use for album upgrades, additional wall art, thank you cards, however they want to spend it. They can use it as a print credit with anything that I sell. It doesn't have a cash value. It's non-transferable, only for print products from their wedding day. But that is a recourse should I miss their gallery delivery. I don't think it's fair if a photographer has a contract or a delivery deadline in their contract, but then there's no recourse. They effectively can just miss their print deadline and nothing happens. There's no punishment or penalty for the photographer for having missed that print deadline. Last and final question. This is kind of a long one, so bear with me. I'm having trouble deciding on a photographer and my brain has kicked into overthinking mode. Please help. From the start of wedding planning, photography was one area I truly care about. I really cherish photos and the way they invoke memories years later. Plus, I work in a creative industry where design and styling is important for me. For our wedding photographer, I like photos that are candid, documentary, and have an editorial look. A little background. We are having an indoor wedding ceremony and reception. Our venue is industrial looking with wood floors, brick walls, and exposed wood ceilings. It's a really beautiful space and we are so excited, but we've also learned that photographing our venue takes a different skill set than an outdoor wedding or space with a lot of natural light. We will be doing our first look photos outside. After hours of research, I have narrowed it down to two photographers. I fear I'm overthinking everything and really need an objective opinion. So my answer to this Redditor would be, have you looked at only their portfolios? Ask for at least three completely different but complete wedding photo galleries. That way, you will have a realistic expectation of what your entire wedding day coverage would look like. This Redditor's post went on to say that some of the galleries were not a lot of close-up, that one photographer tended to shoot more wide images, and the other photographer tended to her photo editing style tended to be with more warm tones, and she was debating asking each of the photographers to change up their style a little bit. So in addition, personally, I would not ask either artist to change what they normally do. As a wedding photographer, these special requests, and this is going back to question number one, tend to get under my skin a little bit, and it makes me feel that a potential client or an existing client did not do their homework in hiring me. I.e., would you go to Burger King? You know, they are famous for their flame-grilled burgers, and ask them for a burger that wasn't flame-grilled. I have been photographing weddings for 13 years now, and I think that my portfolio and my work has a consistent style and aesthetic. So I assume that anyone who's looking at my work and eventually hires me can see that. And I haven't in a very, very long time been asked, can I shoot light and airy or can I shoot dark and moody? But if that question came to me, I would really be taken off guard. However, having said that, there are many photographers who haven't yet settled in into a very specific style or photographic voice and don't really mind requests like this. So if you love every single thing about a photographer's work except this one thing, I would first ask them how open they are to special requests concerning their work. If they seem pretty open to those special requests, I would then ask them whether or not they could change a certain post-processing style or a certain way that they capture a wedding day. But I would first kind of just gauge how open they are to receiving those special requests before I would ask them. And I will just further say that the reason requests like this get under my skin, and I kind of alluded to it in question number one, is that this sort of thing is to me like a mother-in-law suggesting that I shoot in front of this certain backdrop, which I think photographically might be the worst place in the whole area of the venue to be shooting. Or bridesmaids who suggest certain poses that maybe their wedding photographer did at their wedding. You know, I'm not here to duplicate what other wedding photographers are doing. I have my own brain, my own style, my own creativity, and I'm trying to be original and unique, not copycat what every single other wedding photographer in the world is doing, or things like this. And it's these requests that sometimes tend to push me out of my zone for a bit. They tend to take me out of my creative headspace and just kind of turn me off for a little bit. I do end up recovering, but it's those 3 or 4 minutes that I don't feel like my 100% authentic self. And it could end up being a very critical 3 or 4 minutes that I'm kind of off my game. So during that time, I feel like I'm not delivering the absolute best to my couples. And I just don't feel, it just puts me off my game for a minute. You know, I would never walk into a chef's kitchen and ask, can you bake my dish 15 degrees hotter in the oven? Or I would never creep into a mechanic's garage and say, hey, when you work on my car, could you only use Snap-on tools? Or I would never approach a preacher and say, hey, I'm not sure what you're planning on preaching about this Sunday, but could it be this sermon? You know, and those might be really bad analogies for the point I'm trying to make, but sometimes you just have to completely trust the professionals that you hire to do their job. And if you do your homework in hiring them, then you also have to completely trust them to do their job. And that is all that I have today. I hope that my answers to these Reddit questions help you. And that's all I have for today. If you loved this episode, I would like if you would like, share, comment wherever you can. If you are listening either on YouTube or on a podcast somewhere, I would love for you to take a screenshot and share that to your Instagram stories. You can tag either Complete Wedding Ed or @agirlphoto. A quick reminder, I have a book that accompanies this podcast and this YouTube channel. It's called The Complete Guide to Wedding Photography for Couples Getting Married. It is available on Amazon and it is Prime eligible. If you ever have a quick question you want to ask, all you have to do is email me, tammy@agirlphoto.com. All the links to all these things are in my show notes. That is it. If you want to know anything more about me, all you have to do is log on to CompleteWeddingEd.com or @agirlphoto.com. And again, all those links are in my show notes. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you have an outstanding day. I will catch you next time. Adios.
Thank you for listening to the Complete Wedding Photography for Couples podcast. We hope you enjoyed your time, and we hope that you learned something to make your wedding photographs better and your wedding day less stressful. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts so others just like you can set their wedding photographer up for success. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you again during the next episode.